Up to 90% of snap judgments made about products can be based on color alone. With digital lavender coming into force in 2023, when we forecast it first, it was references of stability, serenity, and digital escapism for 2023. It's a sensorial shade that connects to holistic well-being and digital optimism that we are speaking a lot about these days.
That's Urangu Samba, WGSN's Head of Colour, discussing Digital Lavender, our colour of the year 2023. It's a soft, uplifting shade that you'll be spying all over the place this year, from consumer tech to fashion, and even across TV series and films.
This shade poses that much needed cautious optimism and escapism that people are craving post-pandemic and during this polycrisis era. And even in times of budget crunch, it gives like an imaginative and creative outlet, but also speaks of hope and balance.
I'm Bethan Ryder, Executive Editorial Director at WGSN, and this is the Create Tomorrow podcast. Every year, we produce colour forecasts for our clients, a collaboration with our partner business, Colouro. In this episode of the podcast, we chat about what digital lavender signifies and why it's so popular right now. And we also touch upon a few other colours that we forecast as key for this year. Joining myself and Urangu was Caroline Gilbert, creative content lead at Colouro and someone who is currently sporting lavender hair. I kicked off by asking Urangu when WGSN first predicted the popularity of digital lavender.
We first forecast digital lavender back in 2021, yes. Purple was one of the fastest rising colours. It was kind of like 16% up year on year. And on the autumn into 21-22 catwalk shows, with cooler levels of purple like digital lavender, up 55%. I mean, WGSN's catwalk analytics data is across social media, catwalks, and online retails. These data showed that this colour was gaining traction on SS22 catwalk shows, with pastel purples making up 57.2% of the mix. And this rose up to 61.6% for the SS23 collections. And it's not stopping there. In fashion, digital lavender has become a popular choice within the youth sector, and brands continue to embrace the shade for its gender-inclusive appeal. Claire Smith, our colour strategist in my team, has most recently been tracking colour on the recent autumn-winter 23 menswear shows in Milan and Paris, and brands such as Loewe, Gucci, Fendi, Homeplice, Issey Miyake are all embracing this shade as an important pastel for the season. I think we can see the versatility of digital lavender, it being a gender-neutral colour as well as being used as a transitional and transseasonal colour.
It's incredibly uplifting as a shade. And I think it's interesting, isn't it, Caroline, that we often are talking about colour that can be applied really well to real life and the digital. What is it about the shade, Caroline, that really inspires us emotionally? Because I think even your hair has a little bit of a touch of this colour right now.
Yeah, that's true. I think so for me, this color really has creates like a sense of what I'd call like surreal softness, which I think is really applicable when it comes to beauty. One thing that we also know is that colors with shorter wavelengths, they evoke a sense of calmness and serenity. So just definitely that powerful sense from this color for when it comes to meditation or mindful practices. Definitely is linked to spirituality. We can go to like the crown chakra. And I think this color really balances me. This is how I experience it every day, which is maybe the same reason why my wardrobe is all black, for that sense of balance. But I think this color, well, you know, it's maintaining an air of calm and tranquility. I also find it consistently and approachably optimistic. it's like a lively vibration, like, but still like a real booster of creativity. I really think it's encouraging for emotional expression. And if we want to go beyond what it evokes emotionally, there's also an imaginative aspect of it, I think, that is worth diving more into. You know, that softness to the eye, it's effortless, it's a bit surreal and even otherworldly, I'd say. You know, so I think we're really influenced right now. Like, for example, right now, Avatar just been on screen, let's say. There's a lot of scenes that have that, you know, purple glow. You know, the palette is always evocative of more emotional or calming moments when it turns that soft purple, you know. So it's definitely a tool used for that. But on another point that I think about when I think this color is also uncharted territories, like even like supernatural, like once again, in terms of movies, but also like different ways of thinking, you know, where we're pointing our earlier, Yorongu was just talking about genderless. For me, the topic of, you know, non-binary is important. So lavender has that unconventional characteristic about it. So it's still very accessible, approachable. So it makes it extremely versatile. So we're really excited to push this color forward this year. I think it's going to have a great impact on many aspects.
It's true, actually, because it's obviously quite a dark grey time of year. And when I have spotted the glimpses, whether it's like being full-length furry coats or puffer coats or hats, it has been incredibly uplifting to spot. I have noticed it creeping in a lot on television as well. There's one called The Sex Lives of College Girls I've been watching, and there's it's a bit Y2K with the fashion, but there's a good dose of digital lavender cropping up. But most positively, it cropped up in The Last of Us, which is this new apocalyptic TV show based on a computer game. But at the start, it's incredibly bleak. But a young girl in it is wearing a digital lavender T-shirt at the start, and she's kind of like a very hopeful character. And it really does have a kind of uplifting effect. There was a really interesting interview with the guy behind it. It was a piece actually in Vanity Fair, John Paino, who's the production designer. And he just said this brilliant thing, which was that I always like to have a juxtaposition of palettes as we go through a journey. Every movie and show is a journey. We show things through the colour changes. I think, you know, anyone listening to this, you're going to start seeing it now. You know that we're talking about digital lavender. You're going to start seeing it cropping up so much. And it definitely is being used as a kind of uplifting, positive, calming kind of shade. We talk a lot at WGSN. We're talking a lot at the moment about the polycrisis era and things being really quite tough with the war in Ukraine, the cost of living crisis. It's like we kind of need these digital lavender moments, it seems. But Urangu, it's very true, isn't it, that colour really can determine someone buying something. It's like such an influential thing.
In the recent study, actually titled Impact of Colour in Marketing, we found that up to 90% of snap judgments made about products can be based on colour alone. So, I mean, with digital lavender coming into force in 2023, when we forecast it first, it was references of stability, serenity and digital escapism for 2023. It's a sensorial shade that connects to holistic well-being and digital optimism that we are speaking a lot about these days. This shade poses that much needed cautious optimism and escapism that people are craving post-pandemic and during this kind of polycrisis era. And even in times of budget crunch, it gives like an imaginative and creative outlet, but also speaks of hope and balance, you know, meaning this colour has longer term appeal, and we expect this colour to continue to build.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. I'm Bethan Ryder, and we're talking about Digital Lavender, our 2023 colour of the year. Now, the brilliant thing about WGSN is that a lot of our forecasters are also designers and creatives. And it just so happens that Caroline Gilbert, Creative Content Lead at our partner brand Coloro, is also a practicing artist who makes natural dyes from waste. I asked her all about this.
I have developed an artistic practice around natural dye, so made out of my own food waste and flower waste. Started about 10 years ago. It was solely with my food waste at first, simply because I was refusing to buy pre-made, ready-to-use natural dye. And I was more interested in discovering the color potentials from what was around me in my daily life, really. And I've always loved and been intrigued by rejects from our society and waste overall, and find new ways to make them appealing somehow. But anyhow, then this expanded to floral waste after I started floral design and really wanted to see what was possible from plant left over after creating arrangements or events. And with waste natural dye, there are many color possibilities that really sit around us waiting to be discovered. In natural dye, specifically through my practice, I'm working with already existent waste. So there is only a limited pastel of color this offers. And I work with it, I embrace it, and I experiment with it to see what else is possible by modifying it. But I very much have to let the natural component give me what it can provide in terms of range of color. So there are a lot of ways to create lavender with natural dye. Although through the waste I have encountered so far and the way I source it, some formulations based from, let's say, hibiscus or even roses modified can produce lavender tints and tones. Another one in our kitchen is black beans, surprisingly. I will give you all the shades of lavender from bluer to redder colors.
Apart from your side hustle, you also, like Urangu, worked, I think, in the activewear industry before joining WGSN. So I think that's quite interesting that both our sort of colour experts here have come from the activewear industry. So why is that? Do you think that, Urangu, do you think activewear is like more advanced with colour? It seems to be such a coincidence.
I would say that activewear definitely works way in advance than maybe some other industries. Colours are usually forecasted at least 2 years in advance. And, you know, this is due to activewear needing to go through a strict and long process of testing and also creating their own custom colours. Testing for durability being an integral part of the business, colour and material really needs to work together, you know, in order to achieve this desired hue, which takes time, you know. And also what I loved about activewear and working there was that activewear really needs colours to be functional. Whether it's the need for high visibility for running sneakers using neons, or whether it's to give the look and feel of comfort using soothing pastels or calming neutrals in products such as joggers and sweaters. It's an industry where colour has an active role in the practicality of the product.
Another point that I think is quite interesting with activewear is how it's been taking on a lot more what I'd call fashion colors for a while, you know, really re-questioning itself. You know, it's been obviously a lot about brights for the longest time. And then we've seen with the pandemic how activewear has adopted colors that we would think are a bit more more fashion, softer, whitened colors maybe. And now how, yes, we are re-embracing brights right now because we're looking for that optimism through the brights, but there's still this injection of wellness and post-practice kind of recovery aspect of sportswear that really creates a room for still those soft colors to pair really well with brights in activewear.
I'm Bethan Ryder, and this is Create Tomorrow, the WGSN podcast. Although digital lavender is our hero shade of 2023, there are other key colours for 2023 that are most definitely having a moment. Urangu shares one of her favourites next.
I've been really interested in luscious red. We forecast this shade, yeah, back in 2021 to be one of the key colours of the year together with digital lavender. And it actually signals the return of stimulating and digitised brights. You know, red is such a powerful hue with the ability to, let's say, raise the heart rate and taps into the feelings of desire, passion, empowerment, which I think speaks to where we are in society now. You know, people are standing up for their rights. There's a want for equality and social justice, which we see worldwide now.
Actually, while you're talking, wasn't Doja Cat on the catwalk in luscious red, covered in 30,000 crystals at Schiaparelli? I just realised that is kind of that colour, right?
Yes, it's exactly that colour. It's that really bright, stimulating red. And, you know, Doja Cat, I think she was kind of like, even on like the BBC news, you know, it's made headlines, and we can really see the impact of what colour can do.
Any other colours that you liked, Caroline, in the forecast?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Galactic Cobalt was really relevant. I'm really interested to, you know, highlight those colours that are almost like very versatile, the ones that are, you know, new norm, new neutral kind of. But so Galactic Cobalt to me, I would say, is quite interesting because it's actually rare in, let's say, nature. It's like usually the result of like an apparition or reflection. So, you know, when you think like blue sky, obviously it's not that cobalt, but it's usually, you know, influenced by next generation color technologies. And it does have this transformative aspect to it that I found it quite relevant. And definitely it's another color that highlights, you know, how consumer will associate with escapism and extended reality. So I love how this color is relevant in that space. You know, I was mentioning earlier, like blue light, black lights, those are very much the type of wavelengths that are bridging our physical and our digital. So I'm excited to see it executed during that year. It's going to be quite interesting. And another one that obviously is interesting is sage leaf. I'm really attracted to that elevated utility feel and see how it's going to develop. You know, we've seen obviously Apple using that green iPhone. So, you know, okay, green is so important, being so driven by, you know, our interest and attraction to reconnect to nature, bio-based material, that it's almost a new neutral-ish that I'm interested to see how this is gonna take shape in the year to come.
Fab. And we don't want to jump too far ahead because we'll probably revisit this podcast next year. But 2024, I know we already have kind of, our clients already know what we forecast, but is it another soft and gentle? Well, I know what it is, but Caroline, tell us. What, we're still in this kind of slightly gentle phase, right?
Yeah, we are in that gentle phase. I mean, we talked about a lot about the importance of wellness, the wellness realm, you know, touching every industry, every aspect of our daily life. So obviously, with the help of digital lavender, finding that clarity that we need right now in those moments of, you know, doubts and, you know, endless changes, I'd say. So digital lavender is that touch of, you know, hope and a gentle touch of optimism. And then we're heading towards a warmer pastel for next year, something warmer, more optimistic and still soft, but very, very warm, very calming, but with a warm touch, yes.
That's good. So I'll still be uplifted on my morning commute by whatever shade it is that I'm going to see everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I would just say that I think we're, you know, we really want to bring like positivity and joy. So whatever's coming next will definitely be along those lines. So watch this space.
Thank you to Urangu and Caroline for speaking to us today. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find colour forecasts up to autumn-winter 24-25 on our site. And to find out more about Colouro, visit colouro.com. If you want to find out how to subscribe, head over to wgsn.com to discover how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries. And that includes food and drink, interiors, beauty, fashion and consumer tech. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms, and if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Roland Bodnam. And if you're interested to hear more from WGSN, do check out The Lives of Tomorrow, our new podcast hosted by our CEO, Carla Buzzazzi, and you can find that on all podcast platforms.